everyone, it's Judy. Welcome back to this week's On Track podcast. We're happy to have you again. And yet again, we have another great guest who is Greg Wood of IHS Market. He's going to talk to you about a recent report that he created aggregating data from across the global supply chain and give you insights that you probably haven't seen in the news or on the internet about component shortages and what caused them and what to think about as you plan ahead for your designs and your business. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, hi, Greg. Welcome. So glad to have you today. And I understand I'm catching you just a few short days before you retire and go off into the sunset with your wife and your dog. So congratulations and thanks again for joining us.
And thank you, Judy, for having me. I'm excited. We've got some great material for the podcast today, and I'm excited to be able to present that.
Well, Greg, we met a little earlier, a few months ago, and as you know, although our guests may not know, that we have a part of IHS actually integrated into our pro-level tools. And so we have some of the power of IHS's supply chain aggregation of components in our tool. And so you're a partner with Altium. But on that call, you were telling me about a report that you were assembling. And I had been really following closely the component shortage information, but you really got some insights into creating this report. So I wanted to talk about that. But before we dig into your findings, give us a brief introduction about who you are and your background, and also a little bit more about IHS for those who may not know.
Yeah, thanks, Judy. My name is Greg Wood, and I've been in the component information business for 25 years now with a variety of different companies. I also have worked in manufacturing and software development over the course of my career. And my current role at IHS Market is to be able to manage the content for our huge electronic component database. And as far as IHS goes, IHS Market is a global information company. Its ticker is INFO on the New York Stock Exchange. And we're involved in many industries, including automotive, energy, financial, engineering, and product design. And the goal of IHS Market is to be able to provide business leaders with business critical information that will allow them the information and insight to stay ahead of their competition.
Yeah, no small task in these days. And I know you address many markets, but I think that the information that and the reach you have globally as an aggregator is really, really interesting. And not, I think people who have installations of IHS for an electronics company understands the power of it. But I thought our listeners, some may who may not be sort of knee deep in that water, would want to know from a design engineer standpoint as well as a business point. So tell us a little bit about your most recent report that we talked about together and really what, from that information you gathered, well, let me back up a bit. Tell us where you gather this information is, and then we'll dive into the findings. So how do you aggregate this data, and what are you looking at in regards to component shortages?
Yeah, thanks. So we have been looking at the semiconductor shortages that have hit all the news media of late. And what we have been doing is taking a look at component lead times over the period of the past year or so. And we get component lead times from leading authorized distributors and manufacturers on specific parts that are in our database. And we get quite a bit of that information, and we're able to aggregate that information and be able to provide a report of lead times by IHS Markit part types, so for specific component parts.
So how often do you prepare this sort of industry-facing data?
Well, we receive the information daily from the distributors and manufacturers, and we prepare these reports on a monthly basis to allow our customers to understand what the trends are from month to month.
And I think you shared with me that you have some webinars that go over this kind of data that you gather. Can we put that link perhaps here in the show notes for our listeners?
Absolutely. I would encourage it. There's some good information on current trends. We've seen lead times increasing very significantly for specific part types in the semiconductor realm, really since December, January timeframe.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a shock, at least to me. You know, a couple of years ago, we went through the passive shortages, because I think mostly because of the automotive industry and people sort of hoarding. But, you know, we got through that. And then here we are, and to see semiconductors has kind of been a shock. So what are driving this current season of shortages? And now dig in, if you would, Greg, into what your findings were in this most recent report.
Yeah, so what we've seen is the lead times for specific semiconductor part types increasing very significantly over the past 3 months, 3 to 4 months. And specifically for microcontrollers, microprocessors, oscillators, we've seen some increases. We've seen some very significant increases in memory, programmable logic, and then some of the discrete components like transistors and diodes. And we've seen these increases of additional 20 weeks of lead time accumulating very, very quickly over the past few months. So it's really created some very significant shortages in the industry that people really need to be prepared for.
So can you share maybe some of the sort of stories you've seen as people have sort of had to adapt to these shortages and really sort of being up against the wall?
Yeah, so the shortages really started during the COVID lockdowns, where people were spending a lot of time at home and they were buying electronics for at-home use. So smartphones, TVs, game consoles, those kinds of things to help them pass the time. And those are very high sales volume type of products. And they really used up a lot of the semiconductor dies that were available on the market and into the future. So that's what started the shortages of these dies, really. And what happened over time was that the automotive industry rebounded much more than expected in the second half of 2020. And they found that a lot of the microcontrollers were unavailable till well into the future as a result of these expanded lead times. So it's really created, not only just for the automotive industry, but also for all industries, really, where they're manufacturing printed circuit boards and electronic equipment.
Yeah, we've definitely, as you know, Ultium acquired Octopart some years ago, and the traffic to their website for searches has just gone through the roof. And so I think offerings like IHS and Octopart, you know, everybody's running to find what they can on the bare shelves these days. So did the industry not anticipate, like, I imagine when the consumer electronics were creating an uptick, was it because of the unsure future? Like, why didn't they start making more die?
Well, I think the capacity was already accounted for in future orders. So as people got back from the Christmas holidays and as they got back from the Chinese New Year, they started to see demand increasing. So they put in additional orders right away for these components, and they really used up capacity well into the future.
It's because all those darn kids that were home driving everybody crazy. Throw them a screen and electronics.
Well, there is.
Not to mention the parents that were probably going bonkers as we all were forced into small quarters.
Yes, indeed. Well, there is some good news in the fact that the Semiconductor Industry Association had sent the Biden administration a letter that really highlighted a national security concern that semiconductor manufacturing in North America has really reduced very significantly from 1990, where we produced 37% of semiconductor components, to today, where we produce only 12% of semiconductor components. So as a result of that, the Biden administration has sent one of the world's largest fabrication facilities, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, a letter encouraging them to reduce or to increase capacity. And as a result of that, the TSM decided to invest $100 billion in increased semiconductor fabrication capabilities. But that does take some time to put together all that manufacturing capability. So although there is a good sense of supply chain continuity in the future, it will take us some time to get to that point.
Yeah, and I know many of us have been reading also, I think Intel slated to build two domestic plants here in the U.S., and as part of that Biden bill that passed, I think it is called the CHIPS Act, where they're actually investing for innovation, right, and putting money into, you know, creating, you know, our resiliency, you know, here domestically. So are there other ways you're seeing? Obviously, there's heavy investment going on, but you know, if I'm a CEO of a, you know, any kind of electronics company, or I'm a design engineer, what are some coping strategy to help, you know, keep our businesses afloat? And you know, what are you seeing as useful ways to sort of cope while we wait for these new plants to either pick up capacity or come online?
So those are great questions. And I would suggest that there's, if there's immediate concern about your supply chain, there's a few things that you can do to be able to sort of expand your opportunities to be able to acquire inventory. A few ideas are to understand drop-in replacements very well. So often there'll be a similar part number within the same family that can have reduced lead times, and that can shorten your lead time by as much as 50% in some cases. There is also opportunities to be able to look at inventory quantities for independent distributors. So if there's trusted independent distributors that have inventory quantities, that would be a great area to be able to buy off some of their inventory to keep your production lines in running. Mm. There's also opportunities for, there's been a lot of acquisition activity. Hmm. So you can also look in independent distribution for perhaps Fairchild parts that were manufactured by Fairchild before they were acquired by On Semiconductor, and be able to find those components and be able to utilize those. And I've even heard of some companies looking at earlier date codes than what they have normally been buying so that they can get the parts they need that will go into their designs.
You know, you had a shocking number about the automotive industry too, Greg, that what is this? We had this unexpected, really forecasted the depth at which the or the height that the automotive or the EV market, the electrical vehicle market particularly, would spike. And what's happening to the auto manufacturers right now?
Well, the auto manufacturers have experienced a lot of semiconductor shortages. And as a result of that, IHS Market predicts that the automotive industry will lose $60 billion in sales in 2021 as a result of this. So there is some very significant impact. I've seen numerous articles about automotive companies producing or partially producing some of their cars until they get these shortages filled. And they've even been stopping production of the less popular models that they're selling until we can get the supply chain issues resolved.
It's just shocking. You know, what pandemic has done to our world is just, I think it's going to take us a bit to get our feet under us, but $60 billion is a massive impact. You had mentioned something to me, kind of an anecdotal story about things getting desperate enough where instead of buying a relatively inexpensive part, people are buying a whole reference design. Yeah. What are things like that you're seeing, behavior, coping behaviors that are kind of odd right now?
Yeah, that's I was very surprised. We work very closely with component manufacturers. And one of the component manufacturers that I had been speaking with had told me of an occurrence where a particular company was looking for a $6 part. And it was just not available, no inventory, very long lead times. And what they did was they ended up buying $150 evaluation boards because there was this particular component on those boards. So they needed that to be able to continue their production. But you can imagine the cost increase for the compromise that they had to do to be able to come up with that order and be able to continue to manufacture their products.
Wow, it's really something. Well, any other advice for design engineers before I let you go? And I will definitely, for our listeners, I will definitely share links to the webinars, places you can go get more information. But Greg, any final thoughts you might give? You've sort of covered all sides of the industry. Any other words of wisdom as we all cry for help out here?
Yeah, you know, I think for design engineers, some of the best things that you can do are during part selection. So certainly you want to select parts that have cross-references across manufacturers if possible. Now, not all part types are going to be exchangeable, but certainly to be able to do that and to be able to select parts with a long year's end of life that are some technologies. Those are some things that are very helpful. Additionally, I think you can do a proactive review on your existing designs that you see will have a continued life cycle in the coming years. And just do a critical review on what your supplies look like into the future and what your mitigation strategy would be if you do run into critical shortages, and also to really monitor what those lead times are on at least a weekly basis, if not more often.
Well, thank you. I really am excited to have you on, and I know this has been helpful, and I'm sure the links that I'll share, obviously, of course, for our industry, IHS has a solution product. It's probably not for smaller companies, but it's a an amazing product. I will definitely link to their product page. And at Altium, you can also plug into Octopart. And we just got to swim through this one together. So, Greg, thank you so much for joining just days before your retirement. Thank you for all you've done for the industry. I know you've devoted a lot of your life to making things better for us out here. So thank you so much, and want to wish you the best on your happy retirement.
Well, thank you so much, Judy. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to be on this podcast, and wish everyone the best.
Thank you so much. To our audience, thanks so much for listening today. We look forward to being with you next time. Remember, go check out the show notes, check out the great resources, both on the IHS website, and I'll share some others. So hope that was helpful. We'll see you next week. Until then, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.